Well, the important thing is that no one got hurt. Except for that guy. And those three.
I've never eaten a Hot Pocket and then afterwards been, I'm glad I ate that. I'm always like, I'm gonna die. I paid for that? Did I eat it or rub it on my face? My back hurts. Ow.
See, I have an inner ear problem. Sometimes I can't hear anything. Is that a fact?
Eh? Comedy's always been in my blood. The hepatitis is brand new. But the comedy's always been.
You know that metal plate in my head?
How can I forget?
I had to have it replaced. So over at the VA, they had to replace it with a plastic one. And it ain't as strong, so... I don't know if I ought to go sailing down no hill with nothing between the ground of my brain but a piece of government plastic.
You really think it matters, Eddie?
I could be a doctor. I could be a lawyer. I could be a scientist. I could be an armless, but she's in the daylight.
Well, I'll tell you, when you're talking about healthcare in Ontario these days, you may as well laugh, right? Humor, laughter is the best medicine, after all. How are you? Are you in a jovial mood today, Dr. Dworkin? You feeling better? Life is good?
It is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah. 521-TALK, star 580 on Bell Mobility, 1-800-580-CFRA. Every phone line is available right now. If you have a health-related question, and heck, if you have a health policy-related question as well, I mean, that's every bit as popular as diagnosing things these days. Mm-hmm. Great to see you, by the way.
Good to see you, too.
So, from the Associated Press, Dateline Geneva. A quarter of those 25 or older now have high blood pressure worldwide. Almost 1 in 10 has worrying levels of glucose in their blood, as I sip on my extra-large ice cap here. The World Health Organization's tally of the latest global health statistics for the first time includes a look at blood pressure and glucose levels, two of the risk factors for diabetes, cardiovascular disease. Among the findings released were that 29.2% of men and 24.8% of women have high blood pressure. 9.8% of men, 9.2% of women have raised fasting blood glucose levels. Officials in charge of compiling the yearly snapshot of statistics from 194 nations for the UN Health Agency say rich nations have exported some of their diseases to the developing world. And the headline is UN finds signs that diseases of affluence are spreading. So obviously the cure is to crack down on affluence.
That's right.
Which is not far from the approach of the Ontario government, as a matter of fact.
Well, it's not exporting the diseases. It is exporting
the lifestyle.
The environment within which we live that contributes to these diseases.
But let me ask you this, though. I mean, isn't this a bit ridiculous? We're not exporting the affluence. We're not exporting the lifestyle. Developed nations, China, India, are becoming more affluent.
Mm-hmm.
We're not exporting that. They're becoming more affluent on their own. We're not exporting diabetes to India. We're not exporting high blood pressure to China. That's a ridiculous thing to say.
What is changing in those countries is you have the influx of various businesses that produce the same foods that we eat here. So, you can go China.
I don't believe that.
Absolutely.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't believe because there's McDonald's in Beijing now, that's the reason why more Chinese people have diabetes. You don't really believe that, do you?
I absolutely believe, based on the evidence that we have, that when you have an influx, not just of one restaurant. You can't isolate one restaurant, Rob. It represents what is changing in their society, that you have increased calorie intake. And why do they have increased calorie intake? Because the diets that they consume are different.
Okay, but in Canada now there's a sushi shop on every corner. So why aren't our health statistics changing then?
The reason is because you're isolating one sushi shop when you have multiple Starbucks on every corner, McDonald's, Burger King's, Wendy's, large portion sizes in your restaurants, inactivity amongst the population, lots of salt in the diet, calorie glut. It's the environment. I would turn it on you to say, explain to me, why are people gaining weight? Why is our weight going up? Why are we seeing more of these diseases? And the reason is that people are, as a whole, as a society, are a reflection of the environment within which they live. So if you see in China, if you see in other developing countries, similar changes that are going on, we already have other countries that have gone through this, the United States being the leader, unfortunately, but in Europe and in Canada are following right behind, because the environment, the cities we live in, the food that is available is becoming more and more processed. People are not eating, making dinners at home. They're going out to eat a lot more often. That's the affluence component of it. And as a result, they start taking in more calories. They start gaining more weight. And the diseases that are related to that lifestyle start to appear. So we already have a lot of evidence to show that. And so looking at these developing countries, as you've mentioned, they're now becoming more affluent. They are adopting similar patterns of behavior, similar patterns of investment, similar patterns of eating habits.
Well, here's what the United Nations says.
Right.
Globalization or urbanization, aging populations are spreading around the world. Four to five deaths due to the so-called diseases of affluence are in low and middle income countries. It's also being a victim of your own success.
Right. So it's the only way this changes is societies have to decide what is going to be important for them, how they want to change things, if they want to. We can't even get, for example, you have people still arguing not to put calories on menus in fast food restaurants or in multi-chain restaurants, saying that most people won't use it. Well, if you never put them on, no one's ever going to use them. As with anything, Yoni Friedhoff,
more of the argument there, should the government be mandating such things?
Well, we mandate ingredient lists on the foods that we eat. If it's processed, I want to know what's in it, how much is in it. I'd like to know what the calorie count is in it. Marketplace had a great expose on that where they asked people, how many calories do you think are in this salad? Or if you had these particular dishes, how many calories do you think are in that? And they were way off. And they said, if I had known how much it was in, I might have changed what I would eat. The point is that no one is negatively affected by having more information to make a reasonable decision or a rational decision. It's when you withhold information from people, and I don't look at, multinational fast food restaurants and such as an enemy. They're out to make a buck, and we're giving them the bucks. But the point is, we are facing exactly what we are reaping exactly what we're sowing. That we're getting sicker. We're living longer, but we're living longer with chronic disease, which is not a very good quality of life. And so we have to, again, ask questions of what can we do to change things? And there's no simple solution. You can't say, oh, we got to get kids to exercise. Oh, we have to ban this particular product. Oh, we have to change a menu item. It's for the same reason that we've seen this as a incremental increase in changes in our health. It's going to be incremental changes, multiple changes of different things to make things work.
Okay. 521-TALK, *580, 1-800-580-CFRA. If you have any health-related questions for Dr. Barry Dworkin, the phone lines are open right now. Let's go to John in Ottawa. John on line one. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how you doing, doctor?
Fine, thanks.
I went to see a doctor just simply because I was complaining about a heating sensation within my toes.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, she's now sent me to the general hospital to go do an understudy of a nerve conduction study.
Right.
What is that?
A nerve conduction study is also known as an EMG or an electromyogram.
Okay. Yeah.
This measures, if you think of your nerves as wires,
okay,
and that are conducting electricity. Mm-hmm. If there is any damage to the wire, it will affect how the electricity flows through it. So what this will measure is how the electrical pulse that goes through your nerve from your hip all the way down to your toes, it will look and see if there is any part, it'll trace along the path of that nerve and find, if anything, if there's any blockage or compression or an area where the information, which is the electrical pulse, gets slowed down or even stops altogether. And
okay,
so what this then tells us, if the test turns out to be positive, of where along the line in your leg there may be some nerve damage. And on the basis of that, you can then further investigate the area. You can also determine if there is any physical obstruction, anything that's pressing on the nerve, or if there's any underlying disease processes that can contribute to that change. But this is simply, it's literally like taking a long wire, putting it down on the street, hooking it up to two electrical poles, plus and minus, having the current run through, and have someone down the line on that wire make a small cut in it and short it out. And if you took your, or have just enough power to go through it, and if you took a sensor that went along and you walked along that wire all the way down, and then once you went over that spot where they cut it, it would sound off and tell you there was damage to the wire. And so that's what that test will do.
So what are the, how do you fix that?
Well, again, the only way to repair things is to know what the diagnosis is. So for example, if a common test that's done when we're testing nerves is for people that have a condition called carpal tunnel syndrome. That's where they get their hands get numb because a nerve that runs into the hand gets compressed. And so the treatment for that is actually making some small surgery to alleviate the pressure on the nerve. Okay. If in the leg there's a similar condition that's doing that, it may require surgery. If it's a circulatory problem where there's blood flow to the leg is that's damaging the nerve because the nerve can't get enough oxygen and other nutrients from the blood supply, they may have to do something to repair that. But the issue is trying to make a diagnosis first before knowing what we can do. But that's why they're doing the EMG, because you're feeling these changes in sensation in the feet.
So I guess my 15 years of retail sales explains it, right?
That could be. If you're on your feet all the time, that certainly can cause that.
Okay. Thank you. Awesome.
Good luck,
you're
John.
You're very welcome, John.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll stop here and we'll come back after the news at 3:30. This is News Talk Radio, 580 CFRA. I'm Rob Snow, alongside Dr. Barry Dworkin.
I get a cold sore. I hate to say it, Minnesota, but in a cold sore, I put Carmex on it, because Carmex is supposed to alleviate cold sores. I don't know if it does help, but it will make them shiny and more noticeable. It's like cold sore highlighter. Maybe they could come up with an arrow that heals cold sores.
Suddenly, we have all kinds of phone calls, so let's get right to the phones with Dr. Barry Dworkin, Ned in Ottawa.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to, I don't have a question for you, doctor, but I'd like to just make a comment.
Sure.
On page 3 of today's Ottawa Metro, you'll see that's a big write-up and a picture about the food bank's requirements and their recent event where they raised food or collected food.
Right.
That's right.
Now, all of these bins, 130,000 pounds of food is probably not good, because it's not fresh vegetables, it's not frozen meat, it's not frozen anything that will stay in a person's house in a freezer and be a healthy meal. Now, it's Sarah Burns, the events manager, is probably a paid employee, and John Dickey in the picture is probably a volunteer, and I commend them for their good work and action, but it's probably better to jump in a new way of collecting, just collect as much cash as they possibly can, partner up with a couple of the food stores that always have fresh food and vegetables to throw out, and work that way.
Okay, thank you, Ned. We're going to move along there. I don't want to get sidetracked into issues about the food bank. We do a lot of work for the food bank. Their resources are limited. It's only recently that they, in the last few years, that they were even able to store ground beef, for example, because the folks at Cisco Systems actually bought them a refrigerated truck and refrigerators, and you know, it's hard to keep perishable food items at the food bank. Just the facts of life. So let's move along. Don in Cornwall.
Yes, Dr. Dworkin.
Yes.
Good day, sir. I've got psoriatic arthritis, and I'm on a regime of sulfasalazine, methotrexate, and Enbrel, the injection.
Right.
And everything is much better than it was. It's taken, but I'm concerned about the. I know there's side effects with methotrexate, but the Enbrel. That's very expensive, and I'm on a plan now. When I get off my plan at 65 years old, is there going to be some repercussions from just dropping off that? Like the government's obviously, Mr. McGinty doesn't want to pay you. He's not going to pay me $500 a week for that.
how long do you have to go till age 65?
I got another 5 years. Is it beneficial for me to stay on that Enbrel?
The Enbrel, yes, it is used. It's the fact that you are now under much better control. Psoriatic arthritis is it is not a fun thing to have when it's active.
I found that out the hard way. Yeah.
And so the you don't change medications if it is improving quality of life. I'm sure you're having blood tests to monitor the effects. And as long as your blood work is coming back within normal limits or acceptable limits, there are always ways to get coverage. There is there's something called the Section 8, which is a form that is filled out that you fill it for the
Klinger
patient.
Klinger from MASH always used to apply for the Section 8.
The physician essentially writes to the ministry to say, you know, we've tried all other medications and they haven't worked, and this one works, and so you're looking for an exemption so that the person can get coverage. So I wouldn't worry yet, but it's a conversation to start having when you're 64 with your physician to get the paperwork involved in case they have not approved this for general coverage.
So the Enbrel also, am I understanding correctly that it it stops the progression like of the disease?
Yeah, it's an immune modulator. So it reduces your body's desire, so to speak, to attack the tissues and cause the psoriasis and the arthritis. So it calms down the immune system, for a lack of a better term. It just calms things down so your body settles down and the disease is under control.
Okay, good luck, Donald. We're going to move along to John in Ottawa. John?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Doctor. Good afternoon, Dr. Dawkins.
Afternoon.
I got a question about angina. If you have a low blood pressure, can you still get angina?
Yes, you can. Although low blood pressure you're looking for people to control blood pressure if they have heart disease. Angina is a reflection of a blockage in the arteries of your heart. So if there is a significant blockage in that artery, and when you try to do things, when you try to, for example, go running or walking upstairs or shoveling snow or anything that requires your body to produce more energy, supply more oxygen to your tissues, to your muscles, your heart has to work harder. It starts to pump a bit faster. As it pumps a bit faster, the muscle of the heart itself requires more oxygen. And if you have an artery that is blocked or is semi-blocked or partially blocked, the blood that is flowing through that artery is slowed down. And so when the heart starts making demands, the muscle says, I need more oxygen, I need more blood to come to that muscle, it's not able to deliver that blood to that area. And as a result, it starts to what we call become hypoxic or lack of oxygen. And that lack of oxygen causes pain. The muscle starts to literally die because it can't survive without that oxygen, and you get pain. You get buildup of pain from various chemical changes that occur in the muscle. The issue of the low blood pressure won't reflect on that at all, because when you start to make demands on your heart, your pressure tends to go up. Your heart starts to beat a bit faster, your pressure goes up. So having low blood pressure in and of itself, although may make it easier for the heart to function when you're at rest, the fact of the matter is, by having angina, it means that you have an artery that is blocked and that you are at risk of still having a heart attack, even if that pressure is low, because that low pressure doesn't change the fact that that artery is blocked. And a lot of times what people have to have done is if they're having angina, is they have an angioplasty where they use a balloon to literally open up the artery. They literally squash the clot that's there, or the blockage that's there. Open things up. They'll sometimes put a stent, which is like a little tubular wire cage, to keep it
it's
open.
Kind of a spring, isn't it?
Yeah, it springs open and stays open.
Yeah. And let's go to JB in Ottawa.
Very good afternoon to you.
Afternoon.
I'm reading page 21 of Forbes magazine. They describe Dr. Jim Watson, who's the co-discoverer of the structure of DNA.
Right.
Jim Watson discovered the structure of DNA.
He was the co-discoverer.
Oh, my goodness.
In 1953.
Right. Ooh.
But now he identified POMC on chromosome 2, which is pro-opiomelocortin. And he indicates it being important for being in the sun and making vitamin D naturally, and bringing nutrients into our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does that square with the danger of the sun rays?
Good point. Good point, JB.
The reason
you need sun
right
to get vitamin D, right? Yes, you do. This has been an ongoing health debate that you and I have had right on the air.
Correct.
But all things in moderation.
The issue is also our skin types. We are a population of people around the world that move to different areas. Skin types are a reflection of, again, the environment we came from originally. So you have people from Africa. Their skin is darker to protect them from ultraviolet light. That's an adaptation process. People in Scandinavian countries that are native to those countries, lighter skin, fairer skin, not as much sun. Skin doesn't have to protect itself as much. But the point is that when you live in regions where you have strong sunlight, so right now in the summertime, when the sun is directly overhead, sun's rays are much stronger. The ultraviolet light that's hitting your skin is much stronger. And as a result, your skin has a propensity to burn much more easily. So yes, you need ultraviolet light to produce vitamin D. But as with anything else, too much of something is going to cause a problem.
Okay, we have a few more minutes. So let's do some math. We're going to do some health math. I'll read the propaganda from the McGuinty government.
Sure.
The headline reads, from the office of the premier, Ontario adds 3 million more home care hours. And here's what it says. This came out yesterday. Over the next 3 years, Ontario will help 90,000 more seniors get the care they need to live comfortably in their own homes by adding 3 million more hours of personal support worker care. PSWs assist people with personal hygiene, light housework, help with delegated health procedures such as changing dressings. Having the support of PSWs enables seniors, people with physical disabilities, those with complex needs to live independently at home rather than in a hospital or long-term care home. Helping seniors stay at home longer benefits the entire healthcare system by freeing up hospital beds for those who need acute care, reducing pressure on emergency rooms, and saving money. This is fabulous news.
Sounds great.
No wonder we need to cut your fees. Mm-hmm. 90,000 more seniors, 3 million hours.
Right.
This is extraordinary and a huge advancement. I personally want to commend the McGuinty government. What about you?
Well, what I have to say is they've increased the amount of service to those 90,000 people by 38.46 minutes a week or 5.5 minutes of help a day.
5 minutes a day?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds a lot less than 3 million hours.
It's you have to do the math, but
How do you reach that conclusion?
That's very simple. It's 3 million hours divided by 90,000 people. And then per year, right? They're saying they're going to do this for the year.
Right.
So you end up with, and you divide it by 52 to get the number of weeks and the minutes per week. And it's 38.46 minutes a week.
A week.
A week.
5 minutes a day.
5 minutes a day.
Extra.
Extra.
Wow.
Yeah.
Suddenly that doesn't look so good.
I love these press releases. Do they really think our listeners are that stupid? I think our listeners can see through this kind of stuff and see the way that they are manipulating the public to make them think that they're actually
doing something.
Oh, but
listen to this, though. Quote, seniors tell me that home is where they want to receive care, and that's why our government is helping seniors live independently by investing in more PSW hours. We're making the right choice to expand home care by moving forward with a freeze on doctors' compensation so we can put the needs of patients first.
Yeah,
from the office of Deb Matthews, Minister of Health and Long-Term Care.
That's right. So we'll ignore the fact that they've wasted all this money on Orange and all the other areas and taken it away from those people too. So you can create straw man arguments and pit one group against another, but frankly, I think the maliciousness of this government is beyond the pale.
We'll wrap it up there. Good to see you.
Good to
Are
see
you in
too.
On Sunday?
I am in on Sunday.
All right. How much are we paying you for that anyway? We should do an investigation into that.
It wouldn't take you long to figure it out.
Cut! Dr. Barry Dworkin, Sundays at 4 with the Sunday House Call. Madeley in the morning, health headlines, 10 minutes to 7, and he's back here next Wednesday with me.